cornbread in my mama's kitchen. Daddy's saying grace before the meal. Family ties run deep in this land, and I'm never very far from what I am. I was born country, and that's what I'll always be. Like the rivers and the woodlands, wild and free. I got 100 years of down home running through my blood. I was born country, and this country's what I love. Light, and you here beside me, crickets serenading in the yard. What more could two people ask for, laying here in love beneath the stars?
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and a federal judge has extended the deadline for the Trump administration to provide details about the deportation flights under the use of the Alien Enemies Act.
Increasingly, this is shaping up to be a dispute between the executive and judicial branches that's destined to land at the Supreme Court. The administration insists Judge James Boasberg can't pry into the president's handling of Venezuelan gang members whom he's deemed to be part of a foreign terrorist organization. The judge says that since immigrant rights advocates have filed suit, he needs more information about the way the administration has handled the matter to determine whether it has acted within the law.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. The White House says the meeting between President Trump and Ukraine's President Zelensky was good as the U.S. works to nail down terms on a possible ceasefire deal between Ukraine and Russia. Russia's leader agreeing to a 30-day pause to attack Ukraine's infrastructure. Severe storm alerts stretching across parts of the Midwest, on alert for tornadoes this afternoon in Illinois and Indiana. This is ABC News. The balance of power in the personal computer market appears to be shifting.
Year-over-year sales of Apple computers grew 25% in the fourth quarter of 2024, according to new data from Canalys. That comes as the two biggest players in the space, Dell and HP, saw single-digit sales declines in Q4. Microsoft recently announced its ending support for the Windows 10 operating system this October, and that means it's upgrade time for a lot of people and businesses. That's why analysts say Apple is seeing the spike in sales. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
A safe homecoming for the NASA astronauts after their extended stay at the International Space Station, both now receiving medical treatment.
NASA astronauts Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore touched back down yesterday on Earth after that unplanned 9-month stay in space. Their Boeing Starliner was sent back last year without them due to technical issues during an 8-day test flight.
ABC's Faith Abube, Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Things are just better when you switch to Cricket. The sun shines a little brighter. Happy music starts randomly playing. Best of all, you can get iPhone 13 for just $29.99. With the ultra-bright Super Retina display and up to 19 hours of video playback, all on Cricket's super-fast 5G network. See? Isn't that better? Smile, you're on Cricket.
Requires new account and ported on $60 plan. First service charge and tax due with sale. $25 activation fee. Terms and restrictions apply. Cricket 5G is not available everywhere. See store for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. The prospect of not passing a state budget on time or at all concerns Democrats in the Wisconsin legislature.
That concern from State Senate Minority Leader Diane Hesselbein.
Not passing a budget is unacceptable and reckless.
Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahue explains Republican thinking.
Right now we're waiting on some cases before the state Supreme Court to get more clarity on essentially the veto power of the governor.
The Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee has scheduled budget listening sessions next month in Kaukauna, West Allis, Hayward, and Wausau. At the Capitol, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A bill requiring local sheriffs to seek proof of citizenship from those arrested for a felony passed the state assembly Tuesday. Sheriffs who fail to follow the bill's provisions risk losing up to 15% of their county's state aid. Democratic Representative Tip McGuire says the bill is government overreach.
It is state government coercing local government to do the federal government's bidding. This bill would not only threaten to cut funding from local law enforcement if they don't do Donald Trump's bidding, but also it would impose additional costs on them.
The bill is now ready for consideration in the state Senate. Governor Tony Evers has already vowed to veto the legislation if it reaches his desk. A firearms maker is expanding in northwest Wisconsin.
Rice Lake-based Henry Repeating Arms is consolidating all of its manufacturing operations from New Jersey to Wisconsin, the company announced this week. Andy Wickstrom, company president, said more than 100 jobs have been created with the local expansion.
This is going to allow us to advance our technology, improve quality and delivery, and lower costs.
Wickstrom said the move will be completed in the next 2 months, and they will employ more than 650 people. I'm Carl Cooley for Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
NTech is constantly evolving to bring you the very best communication services. Our high-speed, high-quality internet, voice, and video services help you make the connections that matter. We may have a new look, but we're still the same local provider you know and love right here in Durand. NTech grows and changes as you do, so we can always meet your needs. Visit ntec.net to learn more. That's ntec.net.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
A winter weather advisory is in effect, with rain mixing with sleet turning over to all snow and winds whipping up to 45 miles per hour. Power outages are possible as well as some whiteout conditions. But accumulations look light, like less than an inch. And by tomorrow, the winds will ease, the sun will shine, and highs will be mild in the mid-40s. Get cheaper and faster internet from Whole Home Connect. 1-800-217-9129. Right now, it's 35.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
News. Let's see here. Yeah, corn is mixed. I've got soybeans under some pressure. The wheat complex mixed, hard red wheat, kind of a little lower this morning to begin. We've at least got a little green on the screen. We're midway through an entire week without our beloved leader, Chip Flory. We've got a heck of a show lined up for you today. Live from a chocolate macaroon of a day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Alan Hoskins from American Farm Mortgage. Then it's our Farmer Forum for the ladies with panelists Michelle Jones and April Her Royal Hemis. I'm your host this morning. It's me, Davis Michelson, behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk. Pleased as punch to be here, everybody. So glad that you've decided to tune in this morning. It is Wednesday. We're halfway through this week, and it's getting zoppity in the skies over the Midwest. I'm going to hop straight over to the weather here, where I'm looking at this humongoid storm that's coming through. It's if we're looking at its furthest south here, yeah, we're just into not quite to Enid, Oklahoma, on the southern edge there around the Canton area, looks like. Wichita's getting some rain. Look out Emporia, Kansas, Manhattan, Topeka, you're next. And then we go up here into western Iowa where Omaha's got snow, Fort Dodge has got snow, Albert Lee, Rochester, Winona. And we're clear up into, let's see, I'm going to go up in here. I don't know these towns, Merrill, Amigo, Wausau, Wisconsin. It reaches clear up to there, everybody. It looks like there's some potentially severe thunderstorm activity out ahead of this storm. So, hey, good news. You get crazy thunderstorms and then you get a nice blanket of snow on top of it. Eyes on the skies, folks. Make preparations. I'll have the National Weather Service short-term outlook here coming up in just a moment. But this is quite the storm moving across the Central Plains. It looks like most of the Corn Belt will be visited by this weather incursion. Stay safe, everybody. Play it smart. Play it safe in this weather here. Today, it's going to be a great show. I'm super excited about it. Alan Hoskins is so good with ag banking,
with land, farmland values, with pasture land values, with the general economy. I want to dig into some of that with him. And then we've got Michelle Jones from out of Montana and April Hemis from Iowa, a farmer forum for the ladies. Looking forward to that as well. I'm anxious to hear what they've got to say. And Tyne Morgan from U.S. Farm Report, the incomparable Tyne Morgan, actually sent over a couple of questions that she would like to ask. She would like me to ask our panelists. I'm also going to throw them by Mr. Hoskins because these are pretty good questions. There's only two of them, and it's a small sample. I told her that. There's just a couple of people on the show today, but she wants to know, and now that I've seen the questions, doggone it, I want answers too. We'll get them together here coming up on today's show. As I said, the markets are narrowly to fractionally impressively mixed. Not a whole lot going on in the markets. We saw that yesterday. Looks like the same is true, at least so far today. Well, let's get into today's news. As always, I'll start with the weather. The National Weather Service short-term outlook. A spring blizzard will move from the central high plains, I would dare say is moving, from the central high plains to the upper Midwest and western Great Lakes today into Thursday. The combination of heavy falling snow and strong winds will create snow-covered roads and near zero visibility at times. Gusty winds, dry conditions to continue, critical fire weather today through Friday from southwestern Texas into the southern high plains. So blizzard north, parts south. Watch out, maybe not the best time for a campfire just right now. Again, play it safe on the roads there. Play it safe with your fire safety. The Federal Reserve is expected to keep the federal funds rate unchanged at 4.25 to 4.5%, extending the pause in its rate cut cycle that began last September. Policymakers are likely to adopt a cautious stance amid persistent economic uncertainty, particularly regarding trade. This afternoon, I've got Todd Bubba Horowitz, wall-to-wall Bubba on the afternoon show today. It'll be me and him. You best believe we're going to talk about the Federal Reserve, the federal funds rate, and because, you know, he's been critical of the way the previous administration ran things. Well, we've got a new administration now. I'm curious. I don't want to get too partisan or anything like that. It's not a cheerleader show, but I am curious if his mind is changing toward the economy with a different resident in the Oval Office. We'll talk about that this afternoon. The average U.S. 30-year mortgage rate rose for the first time since early January, reaching 6.72% week ended March 14. This according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. The increase led to a nearly 13% drop in refinancing applications, while purchase applications saw only a slight tenth of a percentage point rise. S&P Global Commodity Insights projected U.S. farmers will plant 94.3 million acres of corn in 2025. That's up 800,000 acres from their previous forecast released in January and up 3.7 million acres from 2024. They left their soybean planting forecast unchanged at 83.3 million acres. That's down 3.8 million acres from last year. The firm lowered its cotton plantings to 10.2 million acres, down 250,000 from January. And projected wheat plantings at 46.6 million acres, down 250,000 acres from their earlier forecast. Gang, this corn number, the corn acreage number, just keeps going up here. Now we got a 94.3 print. We'll have the prospective plantings report coming up. In the meantime, I don't know what to make of these numbers. It seems like there's an awful lot of piling on to the corn side here. I'll talk to my panel about their intentions for rotational strategies and things in the upcoming plant here. Michelle and her Royal Hemis should have some strong opinions. Vice President J.D. Vance will reportedly chair the Republican National Committee's Finance Committee heading into the 2026 midterm election cycle, giving the vice president entree to the world of deep-pocketed donors whose support is critical for any future presidential aspirations. The Republican National Convention said in its announcement that this is the first time a sitting vice president has served as head of its finance committee, which organizes fundraising efforts for the party. That's interesting that he's able to do that. I might need to talk to Wiesmeyer about that one. Senate Budget Committee Republicans are meeting with the Senate parliamentarian in the coming weeks to explore using the current policy baseline as a scoring method to permanently extend the 2017 Trump tax cuts. This is a priority for Senate GOP leaders, contingent on the parliamentarian's approval. The heads of more than a dozen oil companies are set to meet with President Trump, expressing gratitude for his pro-energy policies while voicing concerns about market challenges. Industry leaders appreciate Trump's rollback of costly regulations and support for U.S. oil dominance, but worry about his push for lower energy prices, potential tariffs, and economic instability. Just a couple more here before we get to break. Russian President Putin has agreed to temporarily halt attacks on Ukraine's energy and infrastructure targets following a two-hour phone call with President Trump. Oil prices fell about 1% on the news. It is good news. However, Moscow has not yet committed to a broader ceasefire. They're not quite willing to give up the ghost there on the fight with Ukraine. Lots more to get to. I've got more news. I think I'll probably reserve them and discuss them with Alan Hoskins, with my guests in the Farmer Forum panel today. It's going to be a great show. Lots to talk about, as I said. We've got Tyne's questions that she wants me to ask. Maybe we'll get to those first. We'll get them out of the way so Tyne is happy. Then the rest of us can be happy. I hope you're happy this morning. It's going to be a great day. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson on AgriTalk.
Joe Rickard is a crop protection product manager with Winfield United. He joins us right now. Joe, many farmers have recently made the switch to Enlist traited soybeans. What do you recommend to these farmers to help them maximize weed control investment?
One of my top recommendations when using this technology is to include a water conditioner in the tank mixes to prevent antagonism in that tank. It's a weak acid herbicide, plus you're probably going to mix a glyphosate or a glufosinate product tank mixed in there, and they're also weak acid herbicides that can respond to an AMS or water conditioner product.
Okay, water conditioners. What's your go-to recommendation for an AMS water conditioner in Enlist herbicide tank mixes?
Hands down, in my opinion, Class Act NG has been the leader in this space for more than 20 years. As you look at the AMS component combined with non-ionic surfactant and the anti-foam piece that we have in a liquid premix, it's a great overall product. It provides the spreading, sticking characteristics of herbicide for a faster, effective weed control. And it also alleviates some sedimentation of plugging the nozzles for those growers that may be using dry or spray-grade AMS. And it's also formulated with CornZorb technology to help improve herbicide uptake and movement through that plant.
Hey, Joe, are there other herbicides where Class Act NG can make a difference?
Class Act NG is very effective in glufosinate tank mixes, such as Liberty. In fact, our data shows that we can increase uptake as much as 178% when we utilize this product.
Excellent, Joe. Thank you. That is Joe Rickard, Crop Protection Product Manager with Winfield United. For more information, talk to your local ag retailer or visit winfieldunited.com.
There's no such thing as too much caring. That's why Gunderson Health System and Bellin Health have come together to form Amplify Health. The same doctors you trust, the same hospitals and clinics you count on, the same great care, all amplified by an even higher focus on empathy. Amplify Health is more than just a new name. It's a way to make personalized care more personal than ever. Amplify Health by Gunderson. A little empathy changes everything.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compure Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compure.com. Compure Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.56% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
On the
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Thank you for tuning in this morning, Wednesday morning. We're halfway there, gang. The storm continues to move eastward at a slow pace. It's hard to gauge. I don't know what a slow moving storm looks like on radar, but it's still kind of hanging out over the line of snow is still about over the same spot there. Chicago, you're on borrowed time. There's thunderstorms headed your way, good people. St. Louis to a lesser degree, but it's coming your way as well. Des Moines, bring your umbrella. It's atop you. Now, my guest to begin this morning, Alan Hoskins, American Farm Mortgage. Alan, welcome to AgriTalk. Thanks for joining us this morning, sir.
Davis, thanks for the opportunity to be here. Really appreciate it.
Now, Alan, I don't have anything specific. Well, I didn't until I checked my email this morning. I've got something specific for Tyne to ask you, but I know that you keep an eye on a lot of things that really matter to ag banking, to, as far as I'm concerned, the land market and just the general ag economy. So I just kind of wanted to bounce some things off of you, take the temperature of the ag mortgage industry right now. Can we start there? What sort of shape are we in here as far as the finances go?
Sure. Well, if you look at farm balance sheets coming into the 25 crop year, obviously we've seen some changes in working capital, I believe, across the board. It's become a little more challenged, certainly than what we have been accustomed to seeing over the past few years. If you look, Davis, at land values, speaking in our area, for the most part, we're seeing land values continue to hold. You can always find some outliers either in a little bit of lowering land values or rising land values, but I would say as a whole, what you're continuing to see is a consistent trend.
I'm going to ask you to speculate just a little bit, and maybe you can speak from experience, but if we can get a rate reduction in some of the finance costs, would you expect that to be price supportive for the land market, or do you anticipate that buyers might take a look at that setback as an opportunity to sort of pause, let's take a breath here? I guess would a decrease in rates bring more aggressive buyers to the market, or would we circle the wagons more?
If you look just solely from the producer perspective, Davis, I don't think 0.25% change is probably going to have a big impact.
Sure.
One of the things that I think farmers are doing really, really well right now is they are focusing on their cash flow and they're focusing on the working capital.
Yes.
And I think they've done a very good job in looking at where commodity prices are and looking at what the profit opportunities look like for 2025. So I really don't think personally a 0.25% change in rates is going to alter the land market.
Okay. Good to know. Because I think you hit it on the head. My outlook is kind of calling for steady land values. Maybe we'll see a perk up in Q3 toward the end of Q2 there. What is your outlook for the summer land prices look like?
Well, I think that's a great question because if you look at it, Davis, from the standpoint of the farmer's mentality, they're going to feel a whole lot better this summer if we have a reasonable planting season this spring and we see the crop get off in a good manner. So if you assume that we're going to see a good spring, you're going to see good emergence, and we're going to be in a good position, then they could be of a little more of a positive mindset at that time. But I think right now it's just focusing on what's going to happen this spring and also looking at the profit opportunities that present themselves on the commodity markets.
The quicker those fields turn green, the better everybody's going to feel. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yes, absolutely, Davis.
Well said. Yes, I tend to agree. Let's get to Tyne's first question here, Alan, if you don't mind. Question one is, do you agree with President Trump's strategy of using tariffs as a negotiating tool? I feel like there are a few assumptions in there, but let's just take the question at face value. Do you agree with the president's strategy of using tariffs as a negotiating tool?
Well, number one, Tyne always asks good questions, and I'm not surprised at this at all.
It is, yes.
Number two, my personal feeling, I think if you go back and you look at President Trump's first term and you look at how he utilized tariffs at that point, it's not surprising at all that we're seeing what we're seeing. Now, to specifically answer your question, do I agree with it? Honestly, Davis, I don't have enough knowledge to be able to say I think it's a good policy or a bad policy. Mm-hmm. I think that it is very consistent with what President Trump indicated he would do if he was elected. So, candidly, I think consistency in what our representatives do and say is a very good thing. And I will say this, I think also President Trump is going to look at the economy, hopefully is going to look at the economy as a whole, particularly agriculture, and understand where tariffs can be positive or where they can be challenging to the agricultural economy.
Huh. Yeah, and we've seen the administration sort of hint at kind of a targeted approach, almost a surgical approach to some of these tariffs. I guess, and I like that. It makes it specific and it makes it real. It helps us understand, you know, the reasoning behind these sorts of things. I think the question, though, sort of assumes that he's using these tariffs as a negotiating tool. I mean, I thought, you know, there was talk that this was going to be revenue generation. I tend to be in the negotiation camp, too, but he stated, you know, it's going to be a revenue source to some degree. Has he changed position on that? What's your thought?
I don't think so. And Davis, I think you hit on the key point. It's using them in a surgical manner. And obviously, surgery is best done with a scalpel, not a chainsaw. And I think that utilizing them in that surgical manner and understanding that tweaks are needed in the event certain circumstances arise, then I think that's a reasonable policy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's go on to question two then. This is another pretty good one. If agriculture is caught in the middle of another trade war, do you think USDA will compensate farmers for losses again? Was it the MFP payments that came out in wake of phase one to try and keep farmers farming for another year, try to make everybody whole as Trump worked his program then? Is there compensation coming out of USDA if this gets real hot?
Well, certainly there is data to suggest that that would be looked at, because you pointed it out exactly correctly, Davis. It's what we saw in the first administration. Bear in mind, we do have a different Congress now than we did then. And I think that the administration showed in their first term that they looked at what effect policies were having and took steps to try to mitigate the effect on the producer. So I would think that that would be something they would look at again relative to what USDA is going to come out with. Certainly, I don't want to prognosticate on that at all, because I don't know what might be there. But certainly, I think they have shown a willingness to be proactive in understanding the effect and looking at how they can work with producers to mitigate unintended effects, is the way I would phrase it.
Well, and the Rollins USDA has already put together some programs to get some funds out to farmers, too, just announcing, was it $10 billion just this week? And is there more for disaster aid that came out before that? I think more than twice that amount. So it does seem that USDA recognizes it needs to keep farmers whole. Am I on the right track there?
I think you were exactly on the right track there. However, I think we all have to keep in mind, when you look at the national deficit that the nation has, that's got to be balanced. And what we do with producers has got to be balanced to what it does to the nation as a whole. And certainly our producers are, to say they're an integral part of our economy is a huge understatement. Right. We need to make sure that producers are supported and have the opportunity to generate profit. But again, we do have to keep in mind of where we are economically as a whole and what effect that would have.
Can I completely change topics on you here? Just because I'm curious, some numbers keep coming out on the acreage mix coming up here. And the economics, I get it. You know, they're sending a fairly strong message. But corn acres keep going up, Alan. They can't continue to go much higher, can they? What are you hearing among your contacts about acreage decisions?
Well, I am hearing, Davis, that corn acres in the producers that I work with, I'm hearing corn acres are going to be up a little bit. One of the interesting things that I've seen, at least in our area, is white corn acres particularly are increasing due to the profit opportunity that's presented from that specialized commodity. Uh-huh. So I think one of the things to keep in mind when we hear the increase in corn acres, is it just yellow corn? Is it white corn? What makes up those numbers? And I think that's where the devil's in the details.
That's so good. Alan Hoskins, American Farm Mortgage, delivers for AgriTalk on behalf of myself and on behalf of Tyne Morgan. Alan, thank you so much for talking with us and for sharing your thoughts. We really appreciate you, buddy.
Davis, thank you for the opportunity. Always appreciate being on.
Have a great day, sir. Be well. When we come back, we will open the chute on the Farmer Forum. I've got April Hemis and Michelle Jones standing by. We're going to talk markets first, and there's more AgriTalk.
Is your nitrogen program out of tune? Get Nutrio in Tune by Wilbur Ellis. It's the breakthrough biotechnology that harnesses beneficial and fixing bacteria to maintain a consistent nitrogen supply throughout the growing season. Compatible with all fertilizers and tank partners, it's the flexible, easy-to-use solution for pre- and post-sprays. Don't miss a beat. Visit stayentune.com or your local Wilbur Ellis location to learn more about Nutrio Entune.
Experience the power of Enfinity this spring. Loveland Products' newest nitrogen management innovation is available now, with three modes of action to boost naturally occurring nitrogen in the root zone and support your crops through the season. Step into a world where nitrogen comes naturally. Take advantage of this product by visiting lovelandproducts.com/infinity or contacting your local Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. Remember biology class in high school? Most of us didn't get it or slept right through it. Well, we didn't, and we can help build your soil's biology. And biology can be the key to unlocking that next bushel and to help your plants thrive. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, April milk up 22 to 17.18, May up 30 to 17.35, June up 23 to 17.33, July up 21 at 17.83. Meanwhile, cattle markets are moving up mostly higher. Live cattle markets are higher due to the $6 jump in choice cuts. Boxed beef prices were mixed. Now feeder cattle markets are moving mostly higher. The spring season set to officially begin Thursday. Buyer demand in the countryside continues to remain strong. And meanwhile, hog markets mostly lower as to the trade. It cannot break through resistance levels due to demand worries, at least on the hog side. April live cattle up $1.57 to $206.95. March feeder cattle up $1.85 to $286.82. April hogs down $1.72 to $85.87. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat mostly lower. Lack of any type of fresh bullish news is helping to pressure the markets, along with tariff concerns in April. May corn up 2.25 on a bit of short covering to 461. New crop down 2 to 452.25. May beans down 4.5 to 10.08.25. New crop down 5.5 to 10.10. May wheat in Chicago down 1.75 to 563.25. July down 2 to 580. With this WRDN market update, I'm Brian Winnekins.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at #AgriTalk. And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here behind the big green leafy microphone in Chip Flory's stead. Chip, in case you're just joining us, Chip is off this week. He's enjoying some downtime with the missus. We wish him the best. He'll be back first thing Monday morning, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, I would expect. We'll look forward to that. In the meantime, I've got a farmer forum set up. It's a very special farmer forum today for the ladies. Let me bring in my first guest, Michelle Jones from out in Montana. Good morning, Michelle. Thank you for joining us on AgriTalk. I can't wait to chat.
Morning, Davis. Great to be back.
Talk to me about the weather in Montana. How you holding up there?
Now it's above normal. We had a really snowy February, some big storms in February. Overall, I think we're sitting pretty good for moisture, which is good because the summer forecasts are not good. The moisture that we do have is going to carry us quite a long ways, because it's not super optimistic for the summer based on what I'm currently seeing from my friends over at BAMWX. So that's not awesome.
Yeah, not awesome it is kind of a non-awesome forecast. Talk about when do farmers generally start, when do you want to plant? What would be the perfect time to begin planting in your area up there?
We'd probably start in the next couple of weeks. Okay. The earliest I think we've ever started was the very last week of March, either spring wheat or barley, but traditionally we don't get going until early April to mid-April. The valley guys, the irrigators, they like to plant barley in February if they can. Certainly did not get into the fields this year, so they're probably going to start rolling here in the next couple of weeks planting barley.
Yeah. So I imagine about everybody's in the machine shed with the grease gun and with the wrenches and everything, getting everything all set up to roll. That's exciting.
Yeah.
It's exciting times.
Yep.
And let me bring in April Hemis. April, you're under a little different sort of sky this morning there in Iowa. Storms encroaching upon you. Look out your window. What are you dealing with right now, April?
Well, this morning we've had thunder, lightning, rain, hail, snow, and 50-mile-an-hour winds. Anything else you want to throw in there? Yeah.
Well, you're too far north for hurricanes. I mean, let's not get greedy. Save something for everybody else, April, for crying out loud.
Well, and I wish Michelle would have sent some of that snow over. I think all of Iowa is still in a drought, and this will be my fifth year of a drought, so kind of the lack of moisture worries me a lot.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Let's do some housekeeping here. If you happen to hear the first part of the show here, Tyne sent me a couple of questions that she would like me to run by my guests on the radio today. Michelle, I might throw this question to you first. Answer it however you like. And I'm recording. I'm writing it down, and I'm sending it back to Tyne. I'm part of the solution today. Do you agree with President Trump's strategy of using tariffs as a negotiating tool, Michelle Jones?
No, definitely not. And I think anyone who's listened to me on AgriTalk or anywhere else over the last however many years, I don't think that tariffs are an effective negotiation strategy, and where I also don't think that we're truly being surgical in how we are applying them. Like, there are cases in history where we've applied very, very specific tariffs that have applied to very specific industries and very specific countries that have been effective, and they were also very short term. Where we're just using them as a basically blanket approach, and then escalating where where the president gets angry and then he rolls them back and it creates too much uncertainty, and it's just not wildly effective. I think we can also see in the results of the China deal from the first administration, where China did not uphold their end of the bargain for any of those those obligations that they had. Now, granted, the Biden administration would have had a responsibility to make sure that there was the right adherence, because that did bleed into the first years of the Biden presidency, but that didn't happen. And so all of the tariffs that we had on China to begin with didn't, like, it yielded a trade agreement, but it also didn't actually yield the results, because there was no accountability and there was no requirement for China to actually uphold those. And now we're just seeing that again. And we also have them on allies. We have them, you know, just out to so many different countries, that it's not a strategic and surgical approach that would actually yield you results.
Gosh, Michelle, tell us how you really feel. That's, I'm putting you down as a pretty hard no. That's a hard no in all caps is what I'm hearing here. Very good. Thank you for that. April, I'm going to throw the same question at you. Do you agree with President Trump's strategy of using tariffs as a negotiating tool?
I agree 100% with Michelle. I'm like, crap, she's taking all my answers. So, you know, you can use them, but he's like, you know, he throws crap at the wall, and then when it doesn't work, he takes it back or somebody complains. So I agree. And the whole trade deficit thing, I heard a speaker who put it perfectly. You know, you can't judge trade by trade deficits, because he goes, I love this, he goes, I have a huge trade deficit with Chick-fil-A. You know, he goes, I buy things from them, and they really, I give them money, they do give me food, but there's no trade,
right.
You know.
That's not reciprocal.
So, no, I just thought it was hysterical when he said that.
Good.
So, and that's not a great way to judge things. And yeah, I agree, they were used before. Phase one was never really, you know, dealt with under the Biden administration either. But now all we've done is piss off our neighbors with this, bringing Canada and Mexico into it. Yeah. And now all consumers are going to have to pay up, not just the farmers. So I just find it very interesting. And then the money, I don't know if this is going to, I caught the last part of the last conversation, but the $10 billion or whatever we're going to supposed to get, maybe 85%, whatever. I've heard so many different things. That was done in December.
That
so
was already
really,
done.
The,
yes.
The tariffs have nothing. So, you know, oh gosh, I'm going to get lambasted for saying this, but USDA and this administration really had nothing to do with those payments. So, putting them as trade or tariff, you know, payments is not factual. We just, you know, it was done before that. So it's not going to be good. The first trade, boy, I'm going on, aren't I? The first trade agreement, I talked to AS, American Soybean Association, and National Corn Growers did an economical assessment of the first trade with tariffs with China, and it cost our industry $27 billion. So this, and now he's widening it to Canada and Mexico. So I don't know. I just am very hesitant about all this and how they're approaching it.
Well, and Michelle, does it change your view? You're both in agreement, hard no, as a negotiating tool, tariffs don't work. What if it's not a negotiating tool? It's just tariffs for the sake of tariffs.
It's make America rich
again.
Does that
again, help?
Which
does that help?
I don't agree. And every farmer I've heard, it's just frustrating to me. Every farmer I've heard do an interview says, you know, well, it'll be okay if it only lasts for 2 months. Well, you know, like Michelle, how many tariffs last for a couple months?
Right.
Not many.
Yeah,
and I don't think that it's okay from even a long tail. And really, you have to look at the long tail impact of tariffs. I actually had a post on LinkedIn about this a couple of weeks ago. If you look at U.S. wheat specifically, domestic use is flat, production is actually up, and imports are down since 2018. And our major competitors, Canada, Australia, Argentina, all of those countries, the big exporters, are up in their exports. And so what has happened over the years, especially with China, Australia going to China, but just in general, they are seeing higher exports where the U.S. exports are dropping. And wheat is a commodity is we export over 50% of the U.S. wheat in the world. Montana exports exports 50% of what we grow. Montana exports 80% of what we grow. So we have to have those export markets, and ours have decreased by a combination of the tariffs causing damage to our customers and them finding new suppliers and new customers in other countries, which is increasing their exports. And then our failure to go after and improve through the Biden administration our either multilateral or bilateral trade agreements, we have done nothing. And it is materially harming our exports, and we're not going to get that back. And so that's what you have to look at. Like, you can't look at like, yeah, maybe it doesn't impact us in 2 months or 6 months, but what does it do over the next 5 to 10 years? And that's where like U.S. agriculture has never recovered unless we change our strategy substantially out of the taking on new bilateral multilateral agreements and dropping some of these tariffs. We will not recover. And that is going to materially harm U.S. producers, because right now the only thing that is causing U.S. Prices to rise is I have to hope that there's a drought, and preferably not where I am. So
Illinois. We always want Illinois to do bad.
Yeah, like that's not great. Like for me to like just hope that, you know, Kansas and Oklahoma have a drought. Like that's not great. Right. Or them to do the alternative. So I think that's where we see it, and that's where we have a hard time understanding the actual impacts, is that it's not a short-term impact. It's a long-term impact, and you will see it over the years. And we can see that in the graphs. It's very clear.
If we start to look at this issue through the lens of export demand lost is darn hard to recover, this negotiating tactic does seem just a little bit scary, slightly tenuous, maybe more than slightly tenuous. We've been through one question. We're going to get to question two here to see if our farmer panel would feel better if they were compensated in some way for any financial harm. AgriTalk.
Are you nearly maxed out on your credit cards? It doesn't matter if you're using your credit cards for fun or to survive. At the end of the month, your statements come in, and you can either pay them or you can't. If you can't, late fees and interest rates get tacked on. And now, you're struggling just to make the minimum payment due. Do you feel trapped? Am I talking to you? Good, because I personally researched some companies that can help you. They may be able to reduce your credit card balances by 50% and stop the late fees. If you qualify, please call our special debt hotline number right now for a complimentary, free 5-minute consultation. Deal with your credit card problem now before it gets much worse and put more money back in your pocket. Trust me, I've been there too. Call right now.
800-948-1659. 800-948-1659. 800-948-1659. That's 800-948-1659.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-635-3311. That's 1-800-635-3311. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-635-3311. That's 1-800-635-3311.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
Time of the year, finances are always on a farmer's mind. Here to talk to us today about how FBN Finance is helping farmers secure land financing is Dan English, General Manager at FBN Financial. Dan, share how FBN Finance can help in today's economy.
Many of our loan advisors are actually farmers themselves, so we know what it takes to get through not just the tough times, but to thrive. Our team has decades of experience. With FBN Finance, you can feel confident that not only can you get an experienced ag lending team, but also great rates, an easy digital experience, and instant approvals.
Okay, help us figure this out. What guidance would you share with farmers looking for financing their farmland right now?
I would recommend farmers be as proactive as possible so you can feel prepared and find the right financing you need for your operation. That's always easier to do sooner rather than later. We offer a free cash flow template to help individuals understand their current situation and help them plan for next steps. And our team is here to partner with you, provide you a personalized solution for your operation. For example, many farmers this year may need some additional cash to get through the year, and our team can discuss what might be the best option, whether it's a 5-year land-backed revolving line of credit, a cash out refinance, operating line, or some additional input financing.
Okay, are there some other benefits or products that we haven't touched on yet?
I know we've talked mainly about land loans, but we also offer operating loans, input financing, and equipment. We also provide a lot of free resources for farmers, like our AcreVision tool, which allows farmers to evaluate land, and financial educational guides. And finally, as a special offer for AgriTalk listeners, we're offering $500 off their closing costs for land loans over $250,000. Fill out a form at fbn.com/AgriTalk or call us directly at 833-FBN-LEND, that's L-E-N-D, to speak with a loan advisor and just mention AgriTalk.
Thank you so much. That is Dan English, General Manager, FBN Financial.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Is your nitrogen program out of tune? Get Nutrio in Tune by Wilbur Ellis. It's the breakthrough biotechnology that harnesses beneficial N-fixing bacteria to maintain a consistent nitrogen supply throughout the growing season. Compatible with all fertilizers and tank partners, it's the flexible, easy-to-use solution for pre- and post-sprays. Don't miss a beat. Visit stayntune.com or your local Wilbur Ellis location to learn more about Nutrio N-Tune.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here. Not much time left, but let's check the scoreboard on Tyne's first question. Do you agree with the tariff negotiation strategy? It's a hat trick of stink eye. Alan Hoskins, not surprised. Michelle Jones, hard no. April Hemis, also hard no. Michelle Jones, would you feel better about it if there was, if there were support payments to look forward to? Does that help?
No. I mean, that's just more of a short-term band-aid. And I think like the reality is that, whoever the guest was on before, I missed his name, the overall deficit and the government spending, like that's not really what farmers want, nor do farmers want to see continued deficits from the federal government. And so it is also really, really hard to like have payments that truly make individual farmers whole or even close to whole. And like I said, when you're talking about lost revenue, forward-looking revenue, that's the bigger issue. And it's just, you can't model that out necessarily. It's just too difficult to say, like, this is how we truly make these individuals, farmers, back to what they would have been if we had made different choices. So
because right, there's no way of knowing that, where we would have been otherwise, is there?
Right. Like, I can't really say, like, I mean, we should have pursued bilateral agreements. Like, we never should have lost our edge in the export markets. But like, does that mean that we would have been, you know, trend line and 15% above where we were? Does that mean that like we would have surpassed Canada or Australia, or would have lost that? You know, like there's so many things that like you really can't answer for. And then you throw in like other international turmoil, like obviously Ukraine and Russia are having, there's an impact there in that like their exports have slowed, but like if that had been normal, would the US have actually lost more export value? You know, it's, you can't model that out and say, yeah, like this is what the taxpayers are going to have to ultimately do to support U.S. agriculture.
Yeah. April, you were also a hard no on the tariff negotiation thing, saying he throws crap at the wall to see what sticks. Then he tries something else. What if he decides to throw a check and it sticks to your machine shed wall? What then? Do you feel better?
Oh, it doesn't hurt. But here's the deal. I hate being haven't farmers looked at is with our hands out. Yes. You know, we just, what ag needs is stability right now. And we absolutely haven't had it for years. We had the tariffs. Then we had, as Michelle mentioned, you know, the Biden administration did nothing on trade. And then now we have this administration that throws tariffs right back in there again in a hard way. So it's hard to plan when you have no stability. You know, we plan for the worst and hope for the best in on the farm. This is my 40th year farming. I've been through all this crap before, right? Yeah, yeah. But when you have things like this come along, it's you pull your hair out, quite honestly. But, you know, I agree with Michelle. We hate to take, we will take them, trust me. I don't know any farmer that turned back payments, you know, in round one, but well, yeah. They don't come close to making a whole or the what ifs, you know, all day long. But sure. You know, we're in a place now where our expenses are almost outweighing our income, and a little stability would be nice rather than all this turmoil and not knowing what's going to happen next. And you know, we could talk about tariffs now and then he'll change his mind and we won't have any. So it's very frustrating, to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? Let's move on here, because I don't want to miss this here. April, you mentioned that you had chatted with some farmers in D.C. about the fine on these bulk vessels. They're Chinese-flagged vessels, or as I understand it, even vessels that have been made that are flagged under different nations are subject to fees and fines now. What can you tell us about that?
So what I gathered from talking to several people, and this is American Soybean Association is in D.C. now, and I think corn growers go next week. This is one of their number one things. Any vessel, bulk vessel that comes into a port, whether they're unloading or loading, if it's made in China or has or was made in China or under a Chinese flag, anything with Chinese will be fined $1 million. It's not a tariff. It's a fine of $1 million. Now, how much is that a bushel? We don't make vessels in the U.S. anymore. So I think somebody guessed 45% of the fleet is made in China somewhere. So that is going to be huge talk about, we need our exports, and then what's that going to do if they have to pay, you know, these exporters have to pay an additional $1 million on a bulk vessel going out. So, it's something that snuck up, and then people are finally taking notice. You know, what a lot of these commodity groups are afraid of is that we just talked about two subjects here today. Everything that's going on, farmers are going to get complacent, or people in agriculture are going to go, I just can't deal with this anymore, and then get complacent and not say anything. And that's absolutely the worst thing that can happen. Yes. We have to use our voices.
Michelle, we can't just do nothing. The markets offer us tools to help us to make a profit, even in difficult times here. Farmers want to make money off the market. They want to make money farming. They don't want to make money cashing checks. Give us just a little bit on that, Michelle. The tools are there. Are they enough?
Yeah, the tools are there, and you certainly have to be aggressive with your forward marketing. I mean, I've pretty aggressively sold for 2025 winter wheat crop for this reason, because I was able to lock in some prices that were over $6. So we have to use them, but I'm really worried about basis prices and decrease causing huge gaps in profitability.
I'm gonna end our conversation there with thanks to, starting with April Hemis. April, it's noon somewhere. Might be time to settle into the house with a nice warm toddy and some slippers, perhaps, eh?
That sounds like a deal, Joe.
Outstanding. Thank you so much.
Davis, yeah.
Thank you so much for being here with us. April Hemis from Iowa, and Michelle Jones, you're the best. We really appreciate you. Thanks for sharing your thoughts with us. Have a great day, Michelle.
Thanks, Davis. Anytime.
Outstanding. Well, that was a Farmer Forum for the ladies. Wow, a lot in there. I'm going to go back and listen to that one again and again. I hope you will, too. This afternoon, it's me and Bubba. We're talking about everything. So if there's something you're curious about, we'll cover it on AgriTalk this afternoon.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I pushed through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and the Federal Reserve keeping interest rates steady and watching key data on the economy. ABC's Brian Clark with more.
The Federal Reserve left interest rates unchanged as expected, but still believes they will go down by half a percentage point this year. That would likely mean two